Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me this morning as part of our monthly commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council from the Basin Health Company, CEO Vince Moffitt is joining us via Zoom this morning. Vince Moffitt, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to see you and have you with us. Also joining us this morning is Nicole Clark. She is with marketing with Basin Health Companies. And Nicole, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Good to have both of you with us to talk a little bit about the work that Basin is doing in the community and all the different things that Basin does in the community. And so let me go back to Vince Moffitt. When we talk about Basin Health Companies, Vince, we're talking about a number of different services that, Basin is providing, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Scott. We actually have four different business lines that we provide a variety of services through. We got a home health line that we do acute care in people's homes. So the whole concept is a person is going to require services. They're homebound for a short period of time, but with some therapy or skilled nursing, they'll get back at it shortly. And then we have a hospice line, which take care of people who are terminally ill to provide services for those individuals. And we can elaborate more on that later. We also have a service where we provide home care for people who are chronically ill, and they're technically they should be in an extended living facility of some sort, but we keep them at home so they can stay where they want to be and happy with their friends and family. And the last one is we do non-medical based services where we provide homemakers that can do everything from cooking, cleaning, bathing, shopping, all those services that someone might require if they're in a nursing facility, once again, to allow them to stay home where they're happy and they're comfortable.
Right. And so that's a lot of stuff that's going on. And certainly the company has been, I think, expanding over the past few years. And it seems like with the whole idea of home health and providing these in-home caregivers, that's a kind of a shift, too, in at least healthcare philosophy from maybe a couple of decades ago when we'd send folks to the hospital and they'd stay in the hospital for maybe an extended period of time before they were allowed to go home. That's kind of a different thinking, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, and it has been around for a couple of decades, but I think especially now, you know, if you think about the issues that we face with COVID, for example, I mean,
sure,
really the safest place for people to be is in their homes. And it's really kind of interesting because not only are they safer and they're happy where they are, in fact, one of our slogans is healthy, happy, and home, but they also are able to relieve the burden on the healthcare service and actually save taxpayers a lot of money because instead of requiring the extensive long-term bed space that they would normally in care in there, we can provide a much lower rate in their home and provide the same level of service.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense to me. It's just been an amazing transformation. And Nicole Clark, when it comes to telling the public about these types of services, again, this is something that the public is kind of I think gotten behind, right? And they can see the value in these home services, right?
Absolutely, yes. And that's a large part of my job, Scott, is to just go out and reach the community, whether it be through our doctor's offices, any events, pre-COVID, of course, there were events all the time, health fairs and things like that. Post-COVID, a lot of my outreach to the community is online. And I've had to relearn my job, basically, as far as that goes. But I try and connect as much as I possibly can. You know, the way that we look at it is everybody in the community is a potential patient, whether it be we run into somebody's son and they say, you know, my mom needs health care. And so, you know, everybody in the community is you know, needs care at some point in their life. So that's what we strive for sure.
Right, very true. And you mentioned COVID, of course, and so we have to talk a little bit about how that has changed maybe the way that Basin Health Companies does business. I know, Vince Moffitt, you've been kind of at the forefront, very outspoken about protecting your staff and your patients, your clients, during all of this as well. That really has been something you really haven't, whether you've been very strong and vocal about, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, and I think that right now, I mean, it's a very controversial subject. People are sick of it. We're sick of it. But the reality is that we serve the population that are definitely in the highest risk, whether that's the patients we have on service because they have other comorbidities that they're dealing with. They maybe fall into the elderly age brackets that are higher risk. But our clinicians are at high risk, too, because they are going out and seeing patients in these not only in their home, but also in facilities. So we'll go into some of the skilled nursing facilities, extended nursing facilities. And our goal is to ensure that our clinicians are safe, our caregivers are safe and healthy so they can continue to stand up to the need in the community. But the other caveat there is we do not want to be the cause of somebody getting COVID. And so we've taken very strict precautions to make sure that we're safe, that our clinicians are safe. So when they go in a home, that if they are asymptomatic or if they came in contact with it, it will not be spread to the patient. And, you know, we tell people all the time, our clinicians are safer going to see a COVID patient than they would be going to a Walmart or a Home Depot right now because of the level of protection we're taking.
Right.
And patients are as well.
And talk to me a little bit about how that has been to follow some of the recommendations, because they have been evolving through all this. You mentioned that, you know, we're all about sick of hearing about it, but it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. So this seems to be something we'll be dealing with for weeks and maybe months to come. And so as you learn more, are you changing some of your procedures and policies, or have you pretty much been able to kind of stick with what you started at the beginning of all this?
Well, yeah, I mean, things have changed a little bit, but for the most part, the use of protective equipment, you know, the precautions we're taking in COVID are the same precautions we'd have to take for a flu patient, you know, and so it's something that has been involved in our industry. It's just we've never had to do it at the extent and the level we have now. And, you know, from the very beginning, the biggest issues we ran into is the lack of protective equipment. And, you know, I think when people look at COVID and the number of COVID cases, when every healthcare provider has to take that level of protection, and they do, there's a limited resource prior to COVID. And now after COVID, if we're doing on every patient contact, it really puts a lot of stress on that system. So that's been probably our biggest challenge, is finding ways to adapt and be able to still meet those standards and provide care. Luckily, you know, I have a background in infection control, you know, and so I think that, you know, it was easy to understand what OSHA was saying, what the CDC is requiring for healthcare providers. And those things really, you know, I think a lot of people are confused in the public about how that works for just the general public. But in our world, it was just a matter of making sure that we had enough to go around, really, essentially. And we did. Not only that, I just would like to add that one of my big goals is to make sure that we can take care of our services and our patients, but then help the other providers in the area too. And so we worked with them to make sure that they were able to procure adequate amounts of PPE, and they did the same for us. I mean, it was really a collaborative approach and kind of a cool thing, built some really great relationships with what we would consider sometimes our competitors out there.
Right, which is kind of refreshing to hear these days. And so have the supply chains kind of evened out with PPE and getting the equipment that you need for your folks and even to share with others if you need to?
Well, kind of.
Okay, short answer.
Because it's like a roller coaster, you know. So like recently we were looking for foot coverings, and foot coverings were extremely hard to come by. And we were able to find a source eventually. Clorox wipes are still very difficult to find. Just basic things like that you think that every day you could just run down and get it. If you couldn't get it from one of your suppliers, you could go down to Walmart or Sam's Club and pick it up. That isn't the case still. And so we've been able to do it. We have a burn rate that we know of how much we're using and how often we're using it, how we recycle things and recondition them. So, you know, I think that answer just depends on what we're doing at the time, but really, right, it's better than in March for sure. but we still struggle. And I know so does a lot of the other healthcare providers in town.
Sure. Well, and a lot of these things, right, Vince Moffitt, are one-time use. You can reuse some things, but certainly not everything. And so some of the stuff, you just have to wear it and then toss it away, and you just have to burn through it, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, is making sure that you know, at one point we're reusing something, and then a week later we have adequate amounts of that. So it does put a lot of stress on our clinicians too, because they're like, well, are we reusing it today? Are we not reusing it today? But really the best practice is what we're doing. And if we can have, you know, enough to go around, then it just eases some of the pressure on everybody and the stress.
Sure. Well, that makes sense, and I understand that. Nicole Clark, let me turn back to you and ask you a bit about, again, as you talk about the services that Basin provides to the community, and I know, again, in this COVID world, that probably has a little different messaging than maybe it would in a pre-COVID world, right, that folks are more concerned about their safety, and with folks coming into their homes or into their nursing homes or things like that, that they want to be reassured that precautions are in place?
Absolutely, Scott. And, you know, a lot of that for us is the same. And a large part of that is because at the very beginning of this, Vince took extra precautions and put some protocols in place at the very beginning to ensure that we protected our clinicians, therefore protecting our patients. So anytime we come into the office, we have to get our temperatures taken. We have to wear a mask in shared spaces and use hand sanitizer. And we actually have to decon our feet too, anytime we come in and out of the building. And you know, that's just an extra layer of protection. And I'm sure other offices and places are doing that now as well. People who work in the office, if they could work from home and work remotely, we were encouraged to do so. And that limits the contact with our clinicians. Therefore, they are protected to go into our patients' homes, and our patients have the confidence in us that we're taking all the precautions we possibly can. And of course, our clinicians go in with full protective equipment, PPE, face coverings, N95 masks, gown, gloves, a hair covering, and now, like Vince said, the boot covers. And you know, our goal is to make them feel as comfortable as possible. The in-home care is designed to allow them to stay home in their comfortable setting around the people they love, the things they love. And of course, we want to make sure that we continue to provide that for them, even in a COVID world. So that has been our utmost focus. Also keeping them out of hospitals, actually, especially at the very beginning, for one, so that they weren't around other people and possible exposure, and also to help the hospital. And, you know, keep being overwhelmed. And that continues to be our goal as well.
Right.
Just for everybody's sake.
Very good. And again, I want to ask even both of you to answer this question, if you would, about, you know, the benefits of being at home. I think there are some studies, and it's kind of well documented, that don't folks kind of feel better faster or heal faster or get better faster if they're maybe at home and maybe not in a busy hospital, where they're being maybe woken up every 2 hours by a noise or a nurse or something going on?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, absolutely. I think that there's plenty of studies and documentation that show that, you know, even the mental and emotional aspect improves the well-being of the patient. And, you know, one of the things Nicole alluded to was, you know, keeping them out of the hospital. I mean, that's our primary goal of home care, is we do not want our patients to have to go back to the hospital. And, you know, the system is set up to not only that, but at the hospital side, they want to keep those patients out. That helps them in many regards, but even with their billing process and things like that. So it's really collaborative. But, you know, you think about it. I mean, you when you're at home, you're comfortable. I mean, you're what your living environment looks like or seems like. One of our, you know, part of our mission statement is to treat people the way they want to be treated. And culturally, I mean, all these different things, you have those things at home. And so it's definitely a better place to be. And I think that, you know, if you look at something, for example, like our PALS, Partners Assisted Living Service, we provide home homemakers to go in and do non-medical care. A lot of that might be just helping the patient transition from the bed to their chair or to the bathroom, you know, help with bathing. But if the person wasn't there and the person was to fall and break their hip, for example, there's been studies that show that the amount of money that is spent to do the surgeries to repair that, and then there's a rapid decline that will eventually lead to possible death of that patient. And studies show that with a caregiver in the home, you can reduce the risk of those things happening dramatically at a much lower cost and improve the quality of life. Because as you know, if you don't have a broken hip and you're not declining in health, you're going to have a better quality of life. And it's such an easy thing. So, you know, there's also the preventative aspect of what we do as well that I think is good for the patient, good for you know, the hospital, and ultimately good for all the taxpayers who pay into the Medicaid and Medicare system.
Right. Good point. And certainly we hear a lot these days about health care and the cost of health care. And so it seems like, and what you're telling us is that by having these services at home, it is really saving individuals, insurance companies, taxpayers, a lot of money by being able to offer these services at home rather than in a hospital or another facility outside of the home.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one other thing I just would add on to that, and then I'm sure Nicole has some points, but I think, you know, you look at someone who maybe is in the earlier stages of Alzheimer's or dementia. One of the things that's very stressful for that person as they evolve through the disease process is a change in their environment, in their routine. So, like, for example, by adding a caregiver early on to that, when the disease process will progress, their stress level and their family stress level is dramatically decreased by introducing those services a little bit earlier. And that's one of the things that we really push, whether it's from hospice or having a caregiver. A lot of times people, you know, they tend to be resistant to starting those services earlier, but studies show that your quality of life and your length of life is better by introducing all those things at an earlier point.
Very good. And Nicole Clark, let me bring you into same kind of question, to add something to that answer.
Absolutely. So yes, and just to touch on that from a personal experience, we dealt with that with my grandmother. She had dementia and Alzheimer's, and my mother and I were actually taking care of her in her home, and she fell and broke her hip. And they, of course, tried to rehabilitate her, and, you know, she never walked again. She was wheelchair bound, and it was devastating to her. It was devastating to her independence, to us, you know, and we had to keep her in a facility and then eventually move her to a nursing home because we just couldn't take care of her anymore. So, you know, if we would have had those services earlier on and, you know, had a caregiver more in the home, I think that maybe some of that could have been avoided. So I think keeping people at their homes in their comfort zone is definitely at, you know, top priority. You know, and a lot of things too, people have pets. You know, you can't take your dog or your cat or your parakeet to the hospital. And a lot of people emotionally rely on their pets to get them through hard times. And, you know, hence the reason for service dogs. And so I think that's another aspect that we try and look at as well. You know, we offer hospice services as well. And a large part of that is, you know, we want to take care of that person who just got the horrendous news that they are dying. And, you know, they have to be diagnosed by their doctor and given a 6-month or less diagnosis to live. And, you know, we want to go in their home as soon as we possibly can to provide that comfort care for them and to give their family assurance that they will be comfortable and taken care of through the process of passing away. For those services, we do offer respite care. We offer bereavement care. We have a medical social worker that can go in the home and talk to the family and, you know, give the family information. We also offer chaplain services. Our very own Megan Cullip that we share with you, Scott, is our new chaplain, and she is amazing. She is a wonderful addition to our team. So, you know, I'm sure she does a great job for you too. But you know, she is wonderful at assuring people that they'll be taken care of.
Right. And I appreciate you mentioning that. And I think I was going to go to that too. I want to talk about the hospice services that that Basin Health provides, because I think there's maybe a misconception in some people's minds about hospice and hospice care and what that means. But I think folks who have gone through it and have had reached out to hospice really do sing the praises of having those professionals in their home or with their loved one at this time. Even if it's 6 months from now, they really do provide a great service. And maybe you can expand a little bit more on that, because I think the work that is being done is great for the individual, and I think for the family too. I don't think we should leave that out, right?
Absolutely, yes. You know, as hospice services, we do have a skilled nurse that goes in that, you know, can provide the medical portion of the services, you know, give the pain and comfort diagnosis-based medications. We do also provide the necessary medical supplies that are related to the diagnosis and also personal supplies to that patient. We offer, like I said, a medical social worker.
Right.
And we do, one of the things that we do require is to have a caregiver in the home, which is where, you know, our other company pals can come in, you know, to be there in the interim when our nurse cannot be in the home and taking care of the patient. And so, you know, that's definitely an important part of our home. And, you know, people don't like to talk about it. It is taboo. And, you know, culturally too, it can be taboo, Scott, and it's hard to not circumvent that, because that's not the right word, but it's difficult to navigate that as far as from a cultural standpoint. But our utmost responsibility is to the patient and what they are needing at that time. And
right.
We definitely try and provide that as best we can. We also have a Good Neighbor Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization that was started to give monetary assistance to a patient. And, you know, that patient doesn't have to be on services with us. They can be on service with another organization as well. But that is just a way to help them. Maybe it's a home repair. Maybe they need a handicap ramp built in their home, and that money can go towards that. So that's just another aspect of Basin Health Companies as well, to help our hospice patients.
Right. And I appreciate that, because I think that is relatively new to the envelope and umbrella of Basin Health Companies. And so I think it's important that folks realize that fund is available for certain needs, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what I saw, you know, when I first bought the Basin Home Health Company from my family, came in here and started looking at services, PMS had a nonprofit that was set up to help with indigent patients. And when they finally closed that portion of the services they provided, you know, I saw a need that we wanted to continue to provide that service. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that Nicole elaborated on, and one of the things I want to stress as well, is the earlier you do this, the better, and better quality of life and the longer quality of life. I mean, hospice should not be emergent. And you know, because of all the services that come into it, the social worker, the chaplain, the bereavement after the patient dies for the family is one of the, I think, the huge benefits that come along with that. But someone should not be denied that because they aren't currently receiving Medicare, or their insurance doesn't have, or they don't have insurance in a lot of regards, or
sure,
maybe they're underinsured. They deserve to die with dignity too. And I think that's one of the things that I'm most passionate about. I mean, I'm very service oriented anyway, and you know, trying to find a way to continue to provide for those who are, you know, who do without is a core of who I am as a person. And to be able to do that in our community and allow other agencies to take care of it, I'm super excited for that. And if any of the listeners are interested, we're a 501c3. Your donation is tax deductible, and we're the only nonprofit that provides those services in our area. And there are people that really need those services. And you know, I think, you know, Nicole talked about the ramps and things like that, but we've had patients that, for example, were on Medicare, so their hospice was taken care of, but they, their funds were exhausted and they didn't have family who could help provide them with support for utilities, or perhaps they have a hole. I mean, we have had a patient that literally had an open hole in their roof, and this is a place that they wanted to stay. That was their home, but we needed to provide some sort of, you know, help for them so that they actually had, you know, quality shelter and things of that regard. So there's a lot of, you know, services are related that Medicare would not pay for regardless. So hopefully we can help meet those needs with this fund.
Right. Well, and I think you are, and it's a great thing to be able to offer to the community. And I think that's another benefit of being maybe locally owned and having someone like you, Vince Moffitt, at the helm of being able to know what the community needs. You've been here for a very long time, of course, and kind of know what the unique needs are of the residents of the Four Corners.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that, you know, going back to kind of our, you know, our values and our mission statement, that, you know, empathy is a big part of it's one of our values. And I think that when we look at our mission statement is treating others the way they want to be treated, I think that's really important. And one of the things that we talked a little bit about our chaplain, and I just had a meeting with her yesterday, you know, she does a really good job, regardless of whether the person is agnostic or a Christian or Muslim, or maybe they're Catholic, whatever their faith base is, she is super wired to be able to help provide those services, whatever they are, regardless. And I think that that goes back to the cultural needs that Nicole talked about.
Right.
You know, those are things that a lot of times people don't understand, and we're like, well, why would they want to live in a hogan with no running water and no electric? Wouldn't they rather be in a facility? And the answer is, I don't know. Let's talk to the patient and let's see what the patient wants. And it's such an important thing of what we do and how we do it. You know, we go into all kinds of environments. When I work for the fire department, you know, we saw it as well. And so I understand very, very much what our clinicians go into. And you know what? They do their best to make sure that that person is comfortable in whatever that environment might be, and making sure their needs are met. And our community, as you said, is very diverse. You know,
right.
Between the Native American population, Hispanic. I mean, we run the gamut in here. And so I'm pretty proud of the fact that we're able to help those people regardless of what their needs are.
Sure. And it sounds like to me, as you're mentioning this, Vince Moffitt, that that the power, the deciding power, remains either with the patient, or if they can't do it, the patient's family. They really have the ultimate decision power in these situations.
Absolutely. And it starts with the patient. Mm-hmm. And so the patient's needs and wants are the most important. And that's where, for example, we're talking about hospice, but we carry this philosophy through every business line we have. But, you know, when you're at the moment of death, there's a lot of different dynamics that come up. You know, the brother who's been gone for 10 years shows up again, and then the family wonders if they're coming in because they want to be included in the will or whatever, when in reality they're just wanting to make amends. I mean, whatever the family dynamics are, you know, when someone is at the end of life, there's a lot of things that add to the stress level for the family and for the patient. And so, you know, our team really does a great job of helping mitigate that as much as possible. And I know they carry a lot on their shoulders. You know, they know that every one of their patients actually is going to eventually pass. And so they get very tied in emotionally as well. But they do a good job of helping facilitate that for the family to help reduce the stress so they can focus on, you know, spending the best and most time they can with their loved one.
Right. Well, and that's why I mentioned, I know for hospice care, you know, it certainly is helpful for the patient, but also for the family. I mean, those workers really do a great job. We just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning with both of you. I did want to ask about one other offering that you are now providing, which is this Basin Guard service. And this seems to be related to COVID because we have it now. And can you tell me a bit more about that? This is kind of a cleaning service, right?
Well, it is. What I would say is, you know, either we or the client will clean the surfaces and disinfect it. And then what we do is we provide a barrier. And probably the best example of how this barrier works, and there's other companies in town that do something similar, but
okay.
If you think of like a COVID, and it's not just COVID, it could
okay.
be flu, C. diff, it could be whatever. If it comes down, if it is a balloon, let's say, and as it lands on the surface, this protectant will actually pop it and keep it from becoming attached and contagious. So it actually provides this protective barrier in the home or in the cars. We do our own vehicles. We do our offices. So we do offices and things like that. And it is an expensive product. But what one of the things that we do is not only do we provide technicians that go in and to actually spray this protectant down, but we can also just sell the chemical or the protectant to the client and allow them to do it.
I see.
And that can reduce the cost. So for like a lot of businesses stuff, if they want that protection, they're trying to make it more cost effective. And it's just a layer of protection is all it is. And I think for all of us, I mean, you know, we want to make it as safe as possible for everybody when they come into our businesses or our homes. And, you know, I think a really good example is if you had a family member that had COVID and they had to go to the hospital, that would be a great time to go in there and apply this protectant to your home and to this area to keep your other family members safe while you're dealing with the other patient that might have COVID and be dealing with that.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And I think, you know, all of us these days are a lot more aware of our surroundings and how clean they are or how not clean they are. And so this seems like it's a product that can kind of help alleviate those concerns and things along that line. And this maybe gets into more places than just, a rag with some Lysol on it or things like that. It's a more extensive procedure, right?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things we want to stress to people is there's no doubt in my mind that this is a health care crisis and a pandemic. And what we want to do is we want to reduce the stress that it provides on the medical system. And we want to open up businesses as soon as possible, businesses, schools, and all those things. And we can do that with these layers of defense. Anything we can do to help people feel safe, feel comfortable, and to keep the numbers down. And one of the reasons that the numbers have dropped, in my belief, is that we've done a better job with being aware of things, washing our hands, clean surfaces, making places cleaner and safer for people. And I think, you know, ultimately the healthcare system has gotten better at using PPE and things like that to help protect their clients and their patients as well. So we just want to keep it that way. We know that COVID is probably not going to go away, but we absolutely want life to come back to normal as soon as possible. So it's just another tool to help people be able to provide that to their clients or their family members.
Very true. Well, and we've seen what can happen if we do that and get the numbers under control and things can start reopening and schools can start reopening and things along that line, which is what is happening in our community, which we are very grateful for. So, and I'm grateful for both of you for being with me this morning. Thank you both very much. Nicole Clark, thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you letting me come on and talk.
Of course. It's great to visit with you. Vince Moffitt, always a pleasure. Thank you for the work that you and the Basin Health Companies are doing in our community.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And I just want to say thank you for everything you're doing to help, share really good news from a variety of different sources. And you do a great job of keeping your bias out of it. So thank you for that. You know, you and I have talked a lot about media, and I think that you guys are really doing a great job for Sonoma County. So thank you.
Well, like you, we're a community resource, and I appreciate those words. So thanks very much. My guests from Basin Health Companies, Vince Moffitt and Nicole Clark, part of our commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council of San Juan County. I'm Scott Micklin, back with more in just a moment. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.